Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
I'm just rocking out here with some of this. You know, it's not long way to the top.
It's not Dave Matthews, but I guess.
Well, thank God for that. But it's also not long way to the top. I'm waiting, you know, I want to hear the, we need a bagpipe lead-in song. Can we get some bagpipes?
That would be nice. However, if by chance Ants Marching or one of those happens to pop on, Jacob and I had nothing to do with it going forward.
Yeah, we don't play any more actual music on the show anymore. There's some.
So you avoid
that. I guess there's some legal stuff that goes on with that, but that's beyond my.
That's a good end zone drill, by the way.
Yeah, I like that one. One-on-one with the
red zone from the 20, one-on-one, press man coverage. Just win, baby, and the offense looked good.
Yeah, you could either release inside or outside, but you better release one way or the other. The corners on an island.
Right.
So that's good. A good test for those guys, too.
It is. I didn't pay as much attention to the corners. I'm really scrutinizing the passing game right now.
But the nice thing about it is if you're the corner, you know they're not going to beat you deep.
Oh, yeah. I mean, red zone's tough.
You're sitting there. But you also can't leverage one way or the other because you don't have any help.
Well, yeah, it'd be helpful if there's 10 other defenders out there. And you know that the linebacker's taking away the slant.
Kind
or
of flag footballish, but at the same time, you're gonna get that in the league.
What I wanted to see from the quarterbacks though was decisiveness and not just holding it until your guy gets open.
Right.
You can easily cheat the drill and just hold it and pat it, and everyone's gonna get open.
They're gonna
and
get
they
open.
They didn't at all.
Yeah.
Right. It was on time. Boom. Get it out accurately. And Pickens makes a play every time they ask him to.
Yeah, Miles Boykin had a nice one where he used his height to go up and get it. We saw some nice work down there for those guys. Steven Sims had a nice little release. And
you said off the air, I mean, look at Steven Sims. He's going to be in the league this year. You know, like, I don't know how he cracks this depth chart with five or six guys ahead of him.
But with some of the receivers, like, you tell me Atlanta couldn't use a guy like Steven Sims?
Absolutely. Or Dallas, we just talked about. Yeah. Or, you know, a lot of teams.
Dallas would be a team that's seen him when he was with Washington.
Mm-hmm. He was
productive.
They played
against him a lot. So, I mean, that's a guy that they could certainly. And it's, you know, for a team like Dallas, not to. You know, just beat this thing over the head. It's not only you're missing all those wide receivers. Who's your return guy?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Things
right.
like that. I mean, that's kind of a big deal too. Like, are you trusting a rookie back there to do that in week one? I mean,
that's so not a guy really like, Tolbert's game either.
Yeah, a guy like Steven Sims is somebody who's done that in the league.
He might be your number one return guy.
Yeah.
The second you get a hold of him, and your backup slot.
Here, it's almost like the center position. They got like 17 return guys on this team.
Yeah, a bunch of nickel corners. They got a bunch of centers. They got a bunch of returners. Yeah.
I mean, they got just a bevy of guys that they can use, and that's kind of been one of the under talked about things for this team. Like, as much as everybody complained about Ray McLeod last year, and he played too much on offense.
I complained about an offensive player.
Yeah,
I mean,
but he's a solid
good
NFL return guy. Like, you got to replace that this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, he's a good punt returner. So now we have team. I mean. I lost a little steam whenever I walked out here and saw unpadded practice after two padded practices. Maybe this is going to be kind of a light, you know, keep them fresh type of deal. This has been a highly competitive, you know, unpadded, not physical, but, you know, really testing these guys.
Yeah, yeah. And I know, Terrell Austin was talking about, I asked him, because the defense has been winning these things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I said, what have you liked that you've seen out here thus far, and what haven't you liked?
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, you know, I like the way we're going out there competing. We're getting better. We're working, and the guys are showing some improvement. He said, the thing I haven't liked is we're still giving up too many deep balls. I'm like, you give
There's been a couple, I guess. But there be with a pass rush?
Yeah, I'm kind of cherry picking some stuff here because the ball's getting over your head every once in a while, but it's not your first team guys, and it's not the guys who are going to be playing snaps for you. Maybe one of those down the depth cornerbacks gives up something. Yesterday was one of your four string corners, and Mason Rudolph laid it out there for him. But if we're tracking which unit's been better, it's been the defense.
Oh yeah, and just in terms of deep balls, every coach is going to say something they don't like, And okay, you've given up some deep balls, but would you, if someone had to block TJ for 3 seconds and Minka's in deep center field, probably be
not,
a little
yeah.
different, you know?
Yeah, probably be just a little different.
Sure.
This team run drill here takes on a little different meaning. This is more like rugby.
Yeah, it is kind of just a scrum and keeping position and hand usage and not trying to just blow the guy off the ball.
So that takes a little bit of a back seat here. Mm-hmm. I asked him as well about Terrell Austin, about that backup linebacker spot. He said, we just got a bunch of guys in there right now in the mix.
The Buddy Johnsons of the world and those.
He's outside, or he's inside, I should say.
Oh, you're talking about the outside guys.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm talking about the outside guys. So right now at those spots, Derek Tuska is out there right now with Alex Highsmith.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's no reason to put Watt out here and have him wreck the show either.
Give him a day off.
Yeah. But Tuska is a solid backup and, has some abilities.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy at North Dakota State. I got to call up the stats here. But
he had a big career there.
And I thought he would go much sooner in the draft than he did when he came out a couple years ago.
He's not super physically imposing,
No. I mean,
he's not doesn't like Bud Dupree out there, but he moves well. He knows his assignment. He's a good special teamer. He's a depth piece that I pretty much can guarantee he's going to make this team.
Yeah, so in 2019, he had 48 tackles, 13.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 5 pass defenses, which is what you want to see.
Yeah, because he drops into coverage once in a while, too.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that. For his career, those are his NFL stats. Where's his college stats at? He was a big sack guy there.
Yeah, he was.
For them. Where are his college stats? Not showing up. Anyways.
Okay.
But went in the 7th round to the Denver Broncos. Obviously, that didn't work out there, but he comes here. After being waived August 31st, 2021, he signed with the Steelers last year and spent pretty much the entire season on the active roster. He had 29.5 career sacks. That's what I wanted to get to.
At the college level.
I mean, that's 42 tackles for a loss.
Mm-hmm.
That's in 34 starts, 53 total games. He had 29.5 sacks.
Yeah.
That's production.
That's what you're after.
I don't care what level you're at. That's being productive.
We've talked about this a lot. There's a knack to not just getting pressures or beating a guy, but getting in the sack and knowing where the quarterback's at and never giving up and all those things too. And, being a sack artist at any level is extremely valuable.
Yeah. And he came over here last year and got some spot duty. I thought by the end of the season he had passed Taco Charlton.
Yeah.
As their number three guy.
Yeah.
And Charlton was a former first-round draft pick.
I look at Tuska like he's a four, but he went past somebody to become the three last
right.
year.
Right. A former number one pick mm-hmm. to become a three. So, there's a little something there. Is he the ideal guy that you want in that spot? No. But he's also, the one thing that you lose when you go sign a veteran guy, is he going to play teams?
Who knows?
That's the probably not. Not Jannard Avery will.
Jannard Avery will. Tuska will excel there. Right.
And I think that's what they're looking for. And that's one thing that Terrell Austin said. Like, those backup guys, Danny better like them. Danny Smith better
Has
like
to.
Them.
Right. And that's same with the second-level guys. That's same with the bottom of the roster safeties. That's the big tiebreaker. And as we often say, that carries more weight here. Danny Smith's opinion and the overall organization's propensity for keeping a special teamer, that's their first and foremost job, is a great spot for Tuska.
Because
there might be some teams look at him and say, you don't give us enough on defense and we don't value special teams enough. Maybe you're a borderline guy.
Yeah, now Delonte Scott is out there. That's going to be the big key for him. Can he play teams?
That I don't know.
But he is a long, lean.
Yeah, yeah.
He kind of actually looks more like Taco Charlton.
Yes.
And that kind of long, lean, kind of angular.
What is he, 6'5", 245, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But wasn't a real super productive guy. He went to, I wrote up a blurb on every guy that coming to this camp, and he wasn't super productive at SMU, I don't believe.
I think he's more of a toolsy traits guy that you hope you can develop.
Yeah.
I mean, he screams practice squad, if anything. He's actually limping off the field right now.
Ooh, that's not good. Don't like to see that for a young
50's
man.
Moving slow. I don't know if it's bad or not. It doesn't look like it, but he's moving slow. He also
I must have been thinking of somebody else. So he had 97 tackles, 36 for a loss, and 18 sacks at SMU in 40 games. So,
okay.
Must be somebody else I was thinking of there in terms of that. But
I should have caught the number, but whatever tight end he was going against got the better of him.
And that's probably
in a run block.
Yeah, in a run blocking drill, you'd think, well, it's not going to happen to T.J. Watt against a tight end. But a young guy like that who's learning to stand up for the first time, probably going to happen from time to time.
I haven't studied him, but his body type implies to me that he could do some more squats. He's kind of long and lean in the lower half, and if he's not a great bender, he's going to lose leverage battles and not just have the sand in his pants to hold up.
And he's a defensive end learning how to play linebacker.
Exactly. So this is a transition in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I mean, how many times did he face a tight end in those kind of situations? Somebody who's quick as him.
Mm-hmm.
He's used to going up against the big uglies who's the much quicker guy.
He can dictate the pace to them, especially at SMU.
I mean, that's a different skill set.
He's different than some of the outside linebackers they have, to your point. And so he is interesting.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's running down on kickoffs here in the preseason and making plays.
There goes Jaylen Warren through. No, I'm sorry. That was Mateo Durant.
That was Durant, yeah.
He's more the – he and Mateo Durant and Jaylen Warren, I don't think they could be built much differently.
No. They really stand out.
Yeah. I mean, Mateo Durant is you're looking at – he kind of looks body type.
Is he 6'1"-ish?
Yeah.
I'd say he's a little bit of a – I don't mean this in a bad way because Robert Smith and Eric Dickerson and a lot of great backs can run. Even Eddie George, that are power backs, can have a little bit of a taller running style as long as you can drop your pads when you need to. And he does have a little bit of a taller running style where Warren doesn't.
He's
Warren,
a bowling ball.
Yeah,
his legs are – he's thick, a thick base.
Yeah, there's not much to hit.
Kind of a bowling ball.
Yeah, very much so.
And not in a bad way. Like he's built – he's put together.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
they list Jaylen Warren's listed at 5'8", 215.
Okay, I was going to use the Maurice Jones-Drew comparison.
That's what he looks like.
If you want to think of a guy that's had success, and his feet never stop, and he's got quick little Sonic the Hedgehog type feet, so he looks impressive. Problem with those guys sometimes they can't pick up the blitz because people get in them. So it's hard to be.
That's what was impressive. I think that's what caught the eyes of the coaching staff, though, in the
backs
backers. On backers. 33, I'm assuming, is...
Is that the new guy?
Yeah. He just took Sermon? Jeremy... That's
Sermon? Or not Sermon, not the other Sermon. Ohio State guy.
Yeah.
Master Teague.
Master Teague, yeah.
He's well-built.
Yeah, that's one thing. But that's the thing. He had to share time with, Trey Sermon and those guys. There was always somebody else there. And that's often what happens to a running back when you go to one of those big-time programs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Najee kind of avoided that. But even then, there's guys
he didn't really
like,
get it there to be the number one guy until his last year.
Right, right. I mean, and even there was dudes like Damian Harris, who's the starter for the Patriots. I mean, these big-time schools are going to find backs.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't hold that against them. I mean,
No.
Zamir White and Cook for Georgia last year winning the national title.
Who was Herschel Walker's backup at Georgia?
Right.
Who knows? But he probably could have started at a lot of other schools.
Probably was pretty good, right,
yeah.
Right.
It's a good – I'm feeling a little bit better about that position than I did earlier, I think.
More so than most positions, I want to see games.
Yeah.
If there's no running room, then there's no running room. But, when you go to the Senior Bowl and you watch running backs, you don't get much out of it. You get more out of it here. But I do think playing a not common opponent, playing again in a real game – dragging tacklers for your job, and to make every impression you can as an undrafted free agent. There's been a lot of backs in history that have made a living doing that. The Terrell Davises and Priest Holmes and guys like that didn't come in the league with much fanfare.
Yeah, I definitely believe that. And I'm just looking here at Jaylen Warren's college stats. Started
that school again?
Started out at Utah State. So he went to JC, played 2 years at Utah State. Now, the second year at Utah State, they only played 3 games.
Was COVID year.
COVID year. So, COVID year. But that year, he had 39 carries for 252 yards.
So many of these kids you get an improper eval of because there's a whole year basically stripped from them.
He averaged 6.5 yards a carry.
Nice.
I mean, that's a nice number. Then he transfers to Oklahoma State for his second senior year. And 256 carries for 1,216 yards, 4.8 yard per carry average, 11 touchdowns, 25 catches for 225 yards.
Yeah.
So he could, catch a football a little bit.
He was running a wheel route or two here earlier in the week, and not just a screen dump off guy too. You know, he's making plays down the field, adjusting to the football. So he's definitely. Is he going to be the Steelers' preseason rushing champion?
I'm starting to believe he is.
I don't know you need to see that much more from Snell either.
No, you kind of know what Benny Snell
is. You know what he is.
Yeah.
I mean, not that he's a superstar, but I'd rather have those guys battling it out in terms of, you know, the workload.
Hey, if Anthony McFarland breaks off a couple long ones, he could be the preseason. I mean,
if he breaks 180-yarder, he probably wins that battle. Yeah.
But Jalen Warren, I think, might be the guy who gets the most carries.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he gets 30 carries in the preseason if he does something with that. I just like what I've
seen.
Won't
be Harris.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not going to be Najee Harris. I don't know if he gets a single carry.
That was my next question.
In the preseason.
But would you play him one series with the ones and Trubisky just to do it, or would you just say,
I don't know that I need
he'll
to
figure
see
that in week one?
You Especially know? When you see him already out here, you know, getting his foot stepped on early in camp. Like, I don't want to see that happen in a preseason game.
I may hide his helmet until week one.
And they might have to do
and
that.
And this
with him
stepped
as well.
On the foot thing might just be fine, too. Like, we don't need you pulling a hamstring either here. We know who you are.
Take
you know?
It easy.
Yeah. Provide leadership.
Go stand
know.
On the corner in Winslow, Arizona, and take it easy. We'll come pick you up when September rolls around.
So we still got special teams going on.
Looks like we're going to do a little punting today.
Yeah, the punting. We didn't do any punting yesterday, right?
Nobody
kicked the ball yesterday, I don't think.
They did not. I don't think they've kicked the ball this week.
Right. But now they're punting out of their end zone from the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
A little tight quarters there.
Let's see if Harvin booms some. You can do the internal clock. You can play scout here, Matt, and get some of my hang times. They're talking about 5-second hang times with him.
That's up there a while.
That is up there for a long, long time.
Yeah, especially, I mean, you don't get to fully step into your punts either.
You don't get that extra time.
Get it out, you know, and he crushed it. That's just natural, you know, power.
That, to me, was one thing he struggled with last year, was when he was kicking out of his own end zone. There were some bad punts, and that was the one that, you know, he got him booed. At Heinz Field, or now Acrisure Stadium.
I should know his name, but this is the other punter.
Yeah,
this
not a
number
bad
four.
Not a bad punt there by Nizelak.
And that had a little bit of a, I don't know if it's a slice or a fade or whatever, but he pushed it to the right. Looked like on purpose with the spin on the ball. Again, we've talked about this.
He's not just punters. a throwaway guy. I mean,
he could stick.
He might be punting somewhere in the league this year too. So.
But with all respect to him. Do you want Harvin doing every preseason punt?
Right, that's
the thing.
I might.
I mean, it's not like it's not Boswell's backup where you know this dude's making the team and I trust him, you know.
No, I agree. But I think at some point you just give him a couple just because he's been a good trooper about this and coming in. Hey, we got a young incumbent punter, but we want to point you to pressure him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get you a couple kicks in the preseason. And that way, if it doesn't work out here, somebody else gets to see. You put something else on tape.
Mm-hmm. It made me think of something, too, is last night at the local watering hole, Sharky's getting a call out. It's a great spot. And
another boomer there.
I was chatting with a guy that actually was on the Browns staff with last year, or my, you know, 20 years ago, and he's been scouting for the CFL. People don't think about that, but, like, there's jobs above the border here,
too, for
a lot of these guys. You know, they're not here scouting, you know, Boswell and the guys that are going to make the team. They're looking at the dudes that won't catch on in the NFL. So if you can just even put good practice reps out there as a punter and get Danny Smith's, you know, seal of approval or whatever, it goes a long way.
Yeah, and, you know, as we watch Steven Sims back there.
That was a nice punt.
Yeah.
Really pinned him against
angled
the sideline.
Angled it to the sideline. Yeah, good job.
That was not Harvin. That was
Nice electric. Yeah. No, he's not bad. Not bad.
No, you're right. He doesn't. Harvin looks like a special boomer, you know, just in terms of power. But this guy doesn't look like, boy, he's a lot worse.
You know, right. Yeah, I mean,
it seems to control it pretty well too.
Harvin's hang time is
pretty impressive.
Sick right now. I've been told that he's been hanging him up there for more than 5 seconds on a pretty regular basis,
which is incredibly long.
Yeah, you're looking for what is a punter like four? Anything four or above?
I should know that, but I want to say like 4.2 is pretty good, something like that.
And he's getting fives.
And the beauty of it too is. Weather can then take over, you know, and they're going to start to mess with it a little longer. It's up there. And, of course, think about a 40-yard dash. I mean, 0.8 of a second is a lot of grass these guys cover, you know, while the ball's in the air for the cover team. That one's not so good.
Not a great punt, but, man, the hang time. You're getting no return off of that.
I don't think he's happy with how that came off his foot. But it still wasn't so bad. I thought it was going into the sidelines there, but it wasn't as bad as I thought. This didn't sound right.
Yeah. But always interesting to have just whatever the special teams, though, again, you only get so much time to work on these things, all the different facets of special teams.
Yeah. It's a lot more complex than people realize.
Yeah.
Assignment sound.
Another good pump by
Nigel. He killed that one, yeah.
Nice
spiral.
Angled it out of bounds, too.
Angled it out of bounds, no return. Not sure exactly where it went out of bounds, but it's pretty far kick.
Yeah, not bad, not bad. We're going to take another break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio, bringing you our live coverage from Steelers training camp practice here today. The only radio station in the world doing that for you.
That's true.
We're it. And so why would you be anywhere else? He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Steelers going through some team drills here. It looks like first down drills. Once again, Mitch Trubisky taking the snaps with the first unit. But Mason Rudolph working with the twos here. Now we got Kenny Pickett out there, I believe.
I think so.
Some third team reps.
No,
here.
That's Mason.
Is that Mason again?
Yeah,
it is.
When you can't see the jersey, you always look for the gloves.
There
no,
you
that's
go.
Trubisky. What am I talking about?
Oh, that was Trubisky. Yeah,
yeah.
Getting it to Anthony Miller and Miller getting it upfield. Turning just gets upfield.
He does. He's quick to get
quick to tuck
downfield and
as they say.
And get downhill.
Quick to tuck.
I've paid really focused on the offense much more than the defense today, but I feel like some of the stud defenders are kind of getting a day.
Let's work on
the depth guys.
No Cam Hayward, TJ Watt today, some of the other guys. It's made things a little bit easier on the offense to get things done.
But I'm not going to use that as an excuse either. You know, I mean, everybody's short some guys. I just like to get in the coach's head and be like, well, what should we work on today after 2 days of pads? Give the big guys some much-needed rest, you know, get them to the finish or to the starting line, go from there. That was nice by Hayward, too.
Yeah.
Little brother Hayward I'm talking about now.
Little head. Yeah. Little head.
Is that what they call him? Yeah. Middle of the field, catch a ball, get upfield, you know, put your head down.
Yeah, just sit down in the zone.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Turn 8 yards down and sit down, and Trubisky got him the football. He turned quickly and got the ball back up the field. Again, more completed passes today than what we've seen in some previous days. Now,
without
again,
doubt.
Not in pads today, but still, and now Mason's back out there. I think that's because they want Mason running that second unit, 2 minute drill to end
practice. Makes
here.
Makes sense.
Anthony McFarland and Jaylen Warren on the field together here. They were both sidecarring.
You hear about that a lot, and then actually seeing it in practice.
A little ball fake. No flag on that one.
It was worth the risk, though.
Yeah.
Mason pretty much put it where only the receiver could get to it.
A little pump fake on that, which you'd like to see there.
Yeah, yeah.
Freeze the defender a little bit. That was James Pierre in coverage on that one, and he did a nice job coming through the receiver.
He did. He
didn't have a lot of Sims and not drawing a flag because, again, there are officials down there.
Didn't have a lot of room to work with where the ball was placed. Again, he kind of kept it out of harm's way. Only one, you know, the only bad thing that could happen would probably be a deflection or whatever, which, you know, that was a good work by Mason.
Yeah, that's one you'd like to see, maybe one of those bigger-bodied receivers.
Right, maybe they come down with
Steven
it.
Steven Sims still being a little
not his
little
specialty.
Dude. Anthony
Chris
Miller.
Play there, right.
Anthony Miller again getting upfield. He's
pretty explosive.
Yeah. He does a nice job
Chris,
there.
Chris route runner, and considering with what they're working with, he's like the most reliable guy out there.
Yeah, the start-stop is again, just stop, catch the ball, and get it upfield quickly before the defense can close on you. And does a nice job getting it quick to tuck, as Mike Tomlin likes to say. Get that ball put away and turn and go.
It just seems like he's getting to the point, and maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself considering who's not here, but I feel like Miller's demanding playing time.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not put him on the field? Because he's making play after play.
Well, now we got Miles Boykin down here on the low side as a single.
See, that's where I'm looking to go with the ball.
Double
here.
Receivers
two
on the other
shell
side.
With a press man coverage against your big guy.
Pickett goes the other way, and that's
some kind of miscommunication.
Yeah,
I think.
Him and Tyler Snead Tyler Snead not on the same page there with Pickett.
My hunch is that's an option route, and he can either break it in or out. Who knows who's right? Yeah. I mean, but they weren't correct.
Yeah, they were not on the same page.
Right.
That was
he threw an outbreaking route when it was an in-breaking route.
Luckily for Kenny Pickett, Larry Brown was not out there to take that back, intercept that in the Super Bowl. For those,
I thought you were talking about the Steelers' great
old enough
Larry
to remember
Brown.
That
he was,
one.
He was sitting in this seat yesterday, a little before this time.
Yeah, it's Sternberger in motion from left to right. Pickett takes the snap, rolls back, gets it out quickly. All right, that was better. Again, got it out with some timing there.
Yeah, that was good. Again, catch it, Chris Breed, get it out there accurately.
As soon as he caught it, he was turning and throwing. So that's what they want to see from him, get a little more crispness on some of those throws. And
I was looking at 53 on defense. I thought that was Skipper. It was. He had a nice rep there. It's like how he got off the ball. I just want to double-check that. That's who it was. And give him the proper credit.
He's got the red shoes on. We're 53 this year in camp. I can't remember what he wore before, but it was not 53.
Right. So there's two 53s in camp, and one's Kendrick Green, of course.
One on offense, one on defense. Sternberger again, left to right, motion, sets up at the end of the line. Low snap, that kind of threw the playoff.
And it got
snap.
Batted down, too.
Yeah.
A lot of batted passes, which Trubisky's only 6'2". You know, I think some people get the misconception as a second overall pick, he's 6'5 or whatever. He's not. I don't know that batted passes were an issue with him throughout his career. Part of me just thinks that the Steeler defensive front's really getting better at it.
Yeah, they've got some guys, even in the third group here. Again, a guy like Tuzar Skipper's been around. This is his fourth training camp. He's been around the block a few times. It's just a little bit different look for some of these guys, especially for Kenny Pickett.
Bunch to the left here.
Tyler Vaughn going in motion and comes back. Good snap.
Pickett.
Pocket sets up well. Nice back shoulder
throw.
Nice,
there it was.
There it was.
It was a good touch throw to the outside shoulder. Good contorting catch there by 21, whose name I always forget because he's got a funky number.
Javon McKinley is the guy. He's a bigger receiver.
I say he's got good size. That looks like his specialty, too, is go be big. Drive that ball, the corner off the ball a little bit. Go make a play on the sidelines. That was nice. And Pickett put him right where he should.
Right. That's the back shoulder throw that they were practicing earlier.
So. Yeah, exactly. That's why they practice it.
Yeah. Now we got them gathering here on the other end of the field, coming back towards us from left to right from the press box here. Looks like we got
that. Probably looks like it's the ones. That
looks like ones on ones, 7-on-7 here. We get defensive linemen out there.
It might be 11-on-11.
No, it is 11-on-11. I see Chris Wormley out there. He's leaving as Carlos
O-line's
Davis comes
there,
on.
Yeah.
Get Devin Bush out there at linebacker.
Is it Trubisky? Yes, it is.
It is Trubisky. I was told I was asked today with speaking of talking to Terrell Austin, defensive coordinator. I've talked to a lot of
guys lately.
We talked to Terrell Austin today. Asked him about that inside linebacker rotation. He said right now it's Devin Bush and Miles Jack, but Robert Spillane is kind of pushing there.
He's the clear three.
He's the clear three. Yeah.
Okay. That was a little foggy to me.
They've been rotating those guys a little bit. I think they want Spillane to know both sides, so you mix and match those guys.
He's kind of like your swing interior offensive lineman. Like if any of those guys are
– one of those guys goes down, he's going to be the other replacement. So
the little I've seen
– rolling the pocket here. Okay, nobody
I don't
open.
Know if that was by design or not.
No,
it
looked like he was trying to throw there.
Was it?
But nobody was open, so he just – kept running and tucked it.
That's the second time today you and I have commented on Trubisky being a decisive runner. You know, there was just one a bit ago where Adams got A-gap pressure, so Trubisky just went up the B-gap, and there was a big hole. It was kind of just reminded me like Herbert against the Steelers last year. You see that big hole, take it, pick up 10 easy yards. And
that's a rollout to the left. He has a couple of options over there. Neither one of them are open. Nobody gets out there in front of him, so he just keeps
keep
going.
Your feet moving, right.
Get 10 yards.
Right past the line of scrimmage and, duck out of bounds if you have to or slide or whatever. And great.
I mean, that's something that hasn't been a part of the Steelers' offense in recent years.
It's so hard to defend.
Yeah. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. Trubisky takes the snap.
Boom.
Gets it out. Boom. Caught the ball out right away to Zach Gentry for about a 6-yard gain there.
Yeah. I mean – Gentry's never going to look explosive coming out of his routes or, but that's a nice quick hitting play with a really accurate football on time. right where his tight end could, you know, on his outside hip there.
Placed it well.
Yep, exactly.
If it's if it's even into his body a little bit, the defender has a chance to make a play on it.
He could potentially get there.
But
right.
He puts it out in front of Gentry to allow him, and Gentry turns and gets it upfield with that. Yeah. You don't know if he breaks a tackle or not. That turns into a big game.
Yeah, and even not. I mean, what is this? I would say if it was first and down, it's supposed to be third down. But, I mean, it's second and two after that play.
Right, you know
what I mean?
Right. And that's gonna, positive yardage.
Yeah.
They were so bad. They were so on first downs last year.
So bad.
Yeah, that I mean, they were bottom of the league. All right.
Okay, he held it a bit, but the pass rush didn't seem like it was bearing down on him.
I think he was looking at Miller down the sideline. Mm-hmm. He had double coverage there, so then he dumps it underneath.
Touchdown to check down.
Yeah, absolutely. And the pocket held up. Now, again, they're not getting a fierce rush here with no pads
sure,
on.
Sure, sure.
That's all part of knowing what the situation is here.
I mean, I've been very critical of the quarterbacks, especially Pickett, for holding it too long. But there are times if you're not rushed, you don't have to hold. You
right.
can hold it, too.
In that situation, he had a nice pocket.
I didn't think he had to rush it there.
Right, right. You know? Right. Again, start the motion here. Rudolph motions Hayward from left to right.
Hayward plays a lot.
As we look at it here, he takes the snap, got a nice pocket.
That one he double clutched and was starting to get a little bit of pressure on him. Maybe he was starting to feel that a little bit. Not the best pass, but probably was catchable. I'd like to see.
Hayward
like
got
to rewind
yeah,
that
Hayward
just a
got
little.
A hand on it. Couldn't get the second hand out on the run there. But the throw out to the right there, about 15 yards down.
Yeah, it was
the field.
Somewhat downfield, right?
Yeah.
Hayward's on the field a lot.
I think you're going to use him as a weapon.
Yeah, I think he's just a hard guy to account
Again,
for.
Again, what do you know when you break the huddle? What is he?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Is he going to line up in the backfield with in front of the back? Is he going to be detached? Is he going to be in line? Now we got Watt in there with the as a sidecar with Trubisky or with Rudolph. Looks, sets up, gets rid of it. Ooh, That wasn't a bad.
It wasn't a bad throw. I mean, that's not an easy catch, and it was very good coverage. But the ball was exactly where it needed to be on his outside hand, to catch it and get his shoulders going and going upfield if he would have made the play.
Yeah, that was DeAnthony McFarland. He just didn't got one hand on it, couldn't get the second hand up to get on it there. But he threaded the needle on that one.
Yeah, he did. I know Hayward's listed as a tight end, to go back to him real quick. And I don't think he's going to get a lot of carries, true running back type carries.
Right. But kind of gets you out of the game kind of stuff.
If you can.
Injuries. Yeah.
But I think he's closer to Juszczyk than he is Heath Miller.
Yeah, right.
I don't think he's going to be an inline Y. And,
get a nice pocket there, and he gets the ball out to Miles Boykin on a little crossing route there. Boykin turns it upfield. So
get that big body rolling down the highway.
Better day for the quarterbacks today.
Much. I mean, just sharper. And it's not necessarily who they're throwing to or – who the defense is resting, it's just the ball's coming out of their hands better,
much faster,
more accurate, on time. So maybe this is a day that, you guys interview Tomlin. He's like, well, maybe they're starting to turn the corner or day one of good things to come.
Yeah.
I mean,
Trubisky back in there now. Sidecar running back to his left. We get some motion, the tight end motions from the outside to the inside to two receivers on the left. And Trubisky drops back. He's got some time.
He wouldn't have had that kind of time.
Dumps it off to Jalen Warren, and Warren.
And Warren looks good with the ball in his hand.
Yeah,
he can scoot a little bit. Yeah, Warren's growing on me. I mean, he didn't do anything spectacular there, but just when you see him with the ball,
but you're out there. I mean, you got Kevin Rader out there, Steven Sims out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's Cody White's out there. They're working against the number one defensive backs here.
Yeah, yeah.
You're never going to be in a game situation where those guys are all going to be on the field together.
And you mentioned the motion. Season. Like in that play, they had a tight end outside the numbers as the farthest dude on the left.
The boundary, yeah.
And just to see what look you get, and then they motioned him back in, and that's a good indicator. If a linebacker's out there on him, you're getting man. If not, then you're probably getting zone. So you have a much better feel for the coverage before the ball's even snapped.
A good throw.
That's a good throw.
Trubisky rolled to his right. Didn't really need to. Gets it out and gets down about an 18-yard pass to Tyler Vaughn on the run.
Looked very controlled, very sharp as a passer there with his feet not exactly set.
Yeah,
That was nice.
Yeah, that's a nice throw.
And that had a little humming on it, too. I mean, that was a well-thrown, good ball, great spiral, hits them right in the numbers, boom. Yeah, that's what you want to see.
So, we get
again, more promising than it has been.
Now we've got Pickett in there. He's got to
see him do something similar.
Running back to his left. We got a bunch here down on the bottom side, and he sends Olszewski out of that bunch in the motion to the from
over to the wing. Yeah. And then they get the running back out, well, and then they give it to Olszewski.
Inside, okay. That little inside flip again, this time to Olszewski, and that goes nowhere.
D lineman loved that one. They just ate that up. It was Mondo.
But you do you start to set that, use that as a setup play at some point? You put it on tape early, and then you start using that motion, and you slide somebody out behind the backside behind it, because everybody kind of flows to that. And
it's a lot of – flowing is a great word, you know, with the way they use this motion and then the opposite direction off of it, but a real smooth, you know, whole team moving as one. They'll start to get better at that stuff.
Yeah. Pickett, again, takes – Vaughn comes in motion from left to right. As we look here, Pickett takes the snap, looks, gets it out.
Oh, nice catch.
Nice catch here by Tyler Vaughn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the best throw, and Trubisky was under a little bit of heat to his right side. But it was a nice throw, I mean, in terms of velocity.
The velocity was really good. Yeah.
And really nice catch going again, down low to snag that off the ground.
That's when you throw over the middle. That's not going to be intercepted.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah. You
don't want to sail that.
The worst thing you want to do in over the middle is throw high.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We're bringing you our live coverage here from Steelers training camp practice at St. Vincent College, the only station and the only show where you can get this kind of coverage. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. This is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio, the only show bringing you live updates from training camp. Not just updates, but live play-by-play from practice.
Yeah, live coverage, telling you exactly what's going on, no doubt about it. Got the receivers over here working on their feet for the sidelines. Yeah. We got the kick, actually somebody kicking field goals for the first time in a long time. And that's the scene.
Yeah, boss stepping up there. This is about a 42-yarder here. This is no gimme. And these goalposts, are these a little shorter than an NFL goalpost?
I don't know. It's funny you bring that up, because I looked at them like, they kind of look different than they do, you know, during an NFL game. And are they? I don't have any idea.
I think they are a little shorter.
That's maybe just what St. Vincent uses, and why would you bring new ones? You know.
Yeah. Now the college ones are they wider or are they tighter?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think they're the same, but
I don't think they're the same.
Yeah.
They may bring in some.
I don't think they're as high.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Shouldn't they have laser beams at the top of those that just go up into space? Sharks with freaking laser beams on the top so that they extend forever and you can just see if it passes or not?
That would make things a lot easier, and they could do that. I was actually talking to talking to my neighbor who works for a company that does the chipping and does some of the stuff with tracking players and things of that nature,
okay,
the trackers. So the technology is available. They could put chips in balls.
Oh, I can't believe it
the
wouldn't
The problem
be.
Would be keeping the weight differential similar. Like, how do you, like, can you put and I'm sure this
do you
is,
put one in each tip do you
that's
put it in
the problem,
middle
yeah
okay, right
like you can put it at each tip because you want to know if you broke the plane or not, but does that throw the spin of the ball off and things of that nature?
I wonder if you need like four of them, you know, one in each tip, one in the high point of the middle of the ball on each side,
so
kind of balance
so
each other out.
Not just the tip
and they get in trouble that way. Because what if the meat of the ball goes over first and not, you know, the edges?
Well, true, yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, you don't know what part's going to cross the goal line.
Well, that's where those lasers come in. But you can't tell what's...
See, I like the lasers at the top of the goalposts, though. Like, they should just extend forever. You flip a switch and they shoot up into the hemisphere.
We're actually just laser beam shooting, taking players out as they're running.
You can do that, too. Yeah. Right, or fans that are bugging
choo,
you.
Choo, choo, choo. Steelers doing a little field goal kicking here. Now they're getting back here to stretch it back beyond... almost 50 yards here. They're 47 here at these ones.
So at this point, we're done with the acclimation period. We've been in pads. Is there a limit how long they can practice today? You know, now that they're full-length practices?
There's still some limitations for the NFLPA, how long they can be on the field. Mm-hmm. Those kind
Is
of
it
things.
2 hours?
Yeah. That one, he kicked up over top of the guy on top of the...
The film guy up
the
on the boom.
Up on top, almost caught that one. That's a little scary if you're him, though.
I hate being up there. I'll never go up there again. When I was trying to make my bones in this business, I was up there a few times. Hey, Matt, film practice. I'm afraid of heights. And I hated being up there. The coaches don't care that there's lightning going on. Yeah. You're the only.
It's 97 degrees.
It's so hot. Right. And I stink at the camera work anyways. I know I'm just going to get yelled at when I get down on the ground because it's not a good enough shot. I did a lot of that, especially at Duquesne. But, you know, so just as a volunteer, they didn't have a boom. So that wasn't as bad. But I went up in the boom a couple times at Pitt until I really made it clear after I'd been there a while that this really isn't for me, folks. And it didn't break my heart whenever I filmed practice poorly and got yelled at because then they didn't send me back up. But it sways the whole time.
Oh,
it's pouring or it's 100 degrees.
And there's no shade.
There's no shade. Yeah, maybe you remember to take a water with you, which you kill in 5 minutes, and then no one sends you up another one.
Well, they used to have to, and I'm sure you did this when you were doing
you
it.
You shimmy it down in the bag.
They have to shimmy the tapes down in the bag as you fill them up. Well, now I'm sure it's all
I don't think there's tapes anymore.
Yeah, you're just probably remotely sending it somewhere else, so you don't have to worry about that. So you're just filming. But you don't know when you run. How do you know when you run out of tape?
I don't know. Again, I wasn't good at it.
Yeah, I can remember those bags. They'd be sending those bags down full of tapes on a rope.
And even in my day, like, again, this was 20 years ago. Yeah, we had cell phones, but it wasn't like I could just text the video guy or the head coach. I mean, they're all busy. Like, don't you realize there's a lightning storm going on and I'm the only one up here? Nobody cares, you know.
nobody cares until you get struck. And then it's like, oh, what happened to Williamson?
Yeah, man. Yeah,
well, oh, we forgot.
Find someone just like
it. Everybody runs. They all run to get covered.
Right, no one lets you down.
You're stuck up there.
I hated it up there. And it's not very big. The platform's very small once you put a tripod and a camera. And you know, there's nowhere to go. Right.
Yeah, I would not like that job either. I'm not real super fond of heights. And there's not.
I hate them. Right.
And I did that one summer at Pitt Johnstown. I stayed up. And it was the Johnstown Flood Centennial. It was 1989, the 50-year anniversary of the Johnstown Flood, or 100-year anniversary of the Johnstown Flood. So they had a bunch of stuff going on that summer. And I, my roommate, through his then-girlfriend, now wife, got us a jobs through somebody that she worked with, building stages and everything for different concerts and stuff for the show. So we had to do build the stages. You had to do the scaffolding all the way up.
Of course,
around the stage. And you got paid more money if you went to the top of the scaffolding and did all that
stuff.
Oh,
really? Interesting. At least there's some incentive.
I tried it. I'm like, I'll give it a shot. And you climb up there and you're sitting on the scaffolding and they're handing pieces up, you know, to you to put on. And I'm like, yeah, this isn't for me. That thing's swaying in the wind. And I remember we did a Bon Jovi show. It was at Point Stadium. Bon Jovi and Skid Row played, and we had to put the thing up, but then you had to take it down that night because
they
had a football game there the next day.
Okay.
Got to get this thing down, and it rained and thunderstormed that night. And
Nobody cares. It has to come
down. The thing still had to come down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we were out there all night just handing pieces down, get them off the
field.
Yeah.
Sounds awful.
Some of those guys who we had guys, you know how they have the light standards across the stage? So we had the two towers are up. The towers were 100 foot high.
Wow.
And to put the light standards on, you had to go up and hook them on. And then some of the lights were out, or they had some kind of problem with the lights. One of the guys shimmied out there upside down.
To, like, switch a light bulb?
To switch light bulbs and stuff. No, thank you.
Nope.
Lolly is not doing that one.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather work on a Deadliest Catch boat than do that.
Actually watching Deadliest Catch.
I love Deadliest Catch.
Yeah.
But as we're talking about embarrassing times, and my uncle is kind of like a big brother figure to me growing up. He's my mom's youngest brother, so we weren't that far in age. Successful contracting company in the South Hills now for like 40 years. So anytime I was short on work, I could always go work for Uncle Ken. You know, and he'd have me dig a ditch or some nasty job. Roof days, though. I still get made fun of to this day. Anyone that's seen me on a roof, crawling around, never going to the edge, carrying up shingles and just dropping them off and then, like, running away. Hated it.
Made you realize you didn't want to do that for a living.
Yeah, maybe I'll look into this football stuff.
What can I do where I'm going to sit on terra firma and just...
And not be up high with, you know, 50 pounds of shingles on my shoulder.
Yeah, that's no fun.
No, not my bag.
Not much fun at all. Football practice today.
It's still going on. Here we go.
Right. We got some 7-on-7s going on here. We get the one-on-ones over. Well, not really one-on-ones today because they're not in pads.
Well, they're going to get man coverage here, though. I mean, yeah. Bush goes out wide against a running back, and, you know, the Trubisky's looking that way, and Bush is running with him step for step.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those.
There is a flag down over here. There was some defensive holding. So.
Okay. I was really keying on Bush because I think it was McFarland that went outside the numbers, kind of like we were talking about before, when you have a tight end outside that far. If a linebacker follows him, you're getting man coverage.
If Devin Bush has a good year this year, what happens with him?
I mean, I don't think we're talking about best linebacker in the year in the league kind of living up to expectations.
Let's say it's 100 tackles and a couple of interceptions, and a couple of, like, fills up the stat book.
And rarely exposed in a bad way, you know, and makes some big plays. Franchising him seems a little unrealistic. Yeah. I mean, he'd have to have a really good year.
Right, because you still do have Jack under contract. But
yeah, assuming Jack has a good year, because you could move on from him still, too, and give that money to Bush. I think they'd love to have that problem where they're both making $6, $8, $10 million, you know, and have two quality every down linebackers.
Yeah.
Because I don't equate it to, like, Edmonds. You know, like, a year ago, they didn't pick up Edmonds' option. He had a fine year. You know, he wasn't a bad player. He wasn't a liability. And then he didn't get any attention on the open market or not enough, and he came back with a very reasonable deal.
Here's the problem with the –
like, I don't think Bush will still be out there.
This is where the outside linebacker pay scale kind of throws things off for those off-ball backers as Bush makes a nice play there.
Because T.J. Watt's involved, right?
Right. Yeah, so the linebacker franchise tag value is $18.7 million this year.
He can't
that's
have a year
than
that's
wide
worth
receiver.
It. Right, right. Like, yeah. Fred Warner and Leonard aren't worth that.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, those guys are making
so that's
like,
not
they're making like $12 to $13 million a year. The top guys is off-ball linebackers.
Right, right, right.
This should almost be a different position.
It is a different position.
Yeah.
I mean, they're totally – I mean, T.J. Watt versus Darius Leonard are not at all the same.
In fact, looking at that, the only position that gets more franchise tag value than linebacker is quarterback.
What's funny is tackle isn't that high.
Right.
Because no one ever gets on the open market.
Right. Well, that's the other part of it.
You know, you have to get on the open market to drive the price up of the franchise
tag. And offensive line is all considered the same.
Which is also
which is ridiculous.
Foolish.
Yeah, so that's $16.7 million, $16.66 million.
They need to change the franchise tag designations.
Well, and that's, I think, what Bud Dupree was getting at a couple of years ago when the Steelers tagged him. Like, why am I being considered the same as an off-ball linebacker? I'm an edge rusher. I'm a defensive end. Defensive end, 17.86 for the franchise value. Linebacker, because of the T.J. Watts and guys like that getting paid in recent years, has moved over that.
And they're always
that
a
wasn't
good
always the case.
NFL is appealing Deshaun Watson's six-game suspension.
There
just
it
came
is.
Across.
Not surprising at all.
Yeah, not one bit.
We'll talk about that when we come back. Some other things. Steelers, they got one more session after this. That will be the two-minute drill. So we'll talk about Deshaun Watson, everything that could happen with that. We'll take you through the two-minute drill here when that happens once they get back here and once we get back on the air. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.